If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
From 3D Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, you'll hear Seth talk to author Nafisa Thompson-Spires, who continues the conversation just for this podcast. But first, let's hear Amber Ruffin and Jenny Hagel assist Seth with some jokes Seth can't tell.
Here at Late Night every night, I deliver a monologue comprised of jokes written by a diverse team of writers. As a result, a lot of jokes come across my desk that, due to my being a straight white male, would be difficult for me to deliver, but we don't think that should stop you from enjoying them, so we'd like to share them with you now in a segment called Jokes Seth Can't Tell. These are two of our writers. That's Amber, and that's Jenny, everybody.
And I'm gay!
And we're both women.
And I'm not, so here's how this works. I'll read the setups for these jokes, and then Amber and Jenny will read the punchlines. Here we go. A pair of gay penguins at a zoo in Denmark recently attempted to kidnap a baby chick from another penguin.
While a pair of lesbian penguins attempted to adopt three cats.
Serena Williams promoted her line of jeans on Instagram recently using the peach emoji, which many people use to symbolize a butt.
What's a butt? Said white people.
Do people really use the peach emoji to symbolize a butt?
Black people do. White people use a pancake emoji.
A couple in Tennessee celebrated their 10-year wedding anniversary last week by visiting every Disney theme park in the U.S. within 24 hours.
But sure, gay marriage is weird.
So I have a question, Jenny.
Yeah.
Do lesbians go to Disney World?
We prefer Busch Gardens.
A Detroit man recently had the police called on him by white women for gardening while black.
Said the black gardener, "Ho."
A new play opened this month in South Africa called The Pregnant Lesbian.
The play was made possible by a contribution from an anonymous donor.
Today was National Color Day.
So it's okay today, right? Said Megyn Kelly about blackface.
So, Amber, what are you dressing as for Halloween?
The ghost of Megyn Kelly's career. Ah, scary.
A porn site recently offered $10,000 to female pornographers who make porn for women.
Or, if you want women to orgasm, just show them a dress with pockets.
Oh! Woo!
I mean, but really.
Oh! I've never heard those noises.
because you don't have a place to put chapstick.
Police in Virginia are searching for a suspect who robbed a convenience store wearing a panda mask.
If found, they'll give the white half probation and the black half jail time.
Restaurant chain Hooters turned 35 last week.
And then it fired itself.
Hey, son!
What?
Do you want to tell
one? Oh, guys, I really don't think I should.
Oh, come on, just one.
I feel like if I tell one of these, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble.
We want you to do it, Seth.
It's going to
okay.
go so well.
Okay, well, you're my friends, and I trust you, so I will.
Okay.
Former New York City Mayor Mike Bloomberg said that he plans to donate a record amount of money towards female candidates this campaign cycle. Female candidates used to run in different cycles, but then they synced up.
Seth, no! Seth, what? No!
How dare you?
Okay, wait. You know what? I learned my lesson, and I think I get how it works now. In this next one, I am going to nail you guys.
Okay.
All right.
A movie about two lesbians was recently screened for 7 days so it could qualify for an Academy Award. No word on which award, but I'm guessing it's not Best Makeup.
How dare you!
What? You told me it would be okay.
You should be ashamed of yourself!
That was a very bad...
Black women and lesbians are liars. Our guest is a talented author whose debut collection of short stories, Heads of the Colored People, was longlisted for the National Book Award for Fiction this year. Please welcome to the show Nafisa Thompson-Spires. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Congratulations on the book. It's fantastic. It was inspired by... I hope I'm getting this right. Literary sketches done by James McClune Smith. And what was it about his work that inspired you to try to write this work?
My husband's actually a researcher at a university, and he constantly comes into the living room like Sofia Petrillo and just says, like, picture this, 1864, and tells these really ridiculous stories about black people. We weren't free. Think about it. And so he was talking a lot about James McCune Smith's work, and I was realizing how many things are not that different, unfortunately, from the 19th century and now, from listening to him. And so I wanted to read the sketches and then kind of update them. And then I eventually found that a little bit too restrictive, so I just wrote to the theme of heads more generally. I liked his title, and I stole it.
Okay, yeah, that's totally allowed. Yeah. You write about, there are a lot of themes that roll through this work, chronic illness, class, race, but race is never sort of the main definer in every piece. Is that accurate to say?
Yeah, I think the collection kind of exemplifies intersectionality. Everyone's black and something, so they're black and disabled, they're black and living with a chronic illness, they're black and a nerd, there are a lot of blurbs in there, black nerds, they're black and cosplayers, so I kind of wanted to tell those other black stories that I hadn't seen so much.
You say you haven't seen them so much. Was this an issue where these were stories you'd never seen and you thought, oh, I have the power to represent stories that haven't existed before?
I don't know if I thought about it as power, but I definitely felt that there was a gap in what I wished I could have been reading. And Alice Walker, and Toni Morrison, other people I've talked about, if there's a gap in something, you fill it in. And so I was kind of following that advice and telling the stories I wished I could have been reading.
You know, we've obviously mentioned things like chronic illness and, well, again, race is a big part of this. There are some very dark stories you tell in this book, but all have sort of a lovely humor to them. Is that something that's always been true of your writing, to bring humor into dark subject matter?
I use humor, I think, as my own defense mechanism. And I really wanted to be a stand-up comedian when I was a kid. Not a good day to say that when Wanda Sykes is on the show and David Cross is on the show. But I couldn't watch the really good comedians like Eddie Murphy and, you know, Richard Pryor. I wasn't allowed to do that. So I was watching people like Dave Coulier on Full House, and I was taking his material as Uncle Joey and going to school going, like, cut it out and just being horrible and wondering why people were making fun of me.
Yeah.
But I found that when they were laughing at me, you know, any kind of laughter sort of calmed me down. And so it became a mechanism for me to deal with my own anxiety. And I think the stories do that, too.
There's a wonderful story in here that is a series of letters back and forth between two mothers who are... Basically, one is saying, your daughter bullied my daughter at school, and it escalates as the letters go back and forth. This is inspired by a real life?
Sadly, yes. My mother sent me a box of kind of crap that she called a care packet, and one of the things that was in it was a letter from my childhood bully's mother. And I was the only other black girl in the class, so two black mothers at a very bougie white school, two black daughters in this grade, and the other mother basically said that I brought all of the drama to the school and that her daughter was perfect. And so when she sent me the letter, I was like, why did you send me this, first of all? And second, I'm going to make fun of you for this. And that's what I'm basically doing in this story.
Did your mother stand up for you? Is she someone that would write an angry letter back?
Yes. My mother, if anyone did anything to me, like, you weren't invited to this birthday party, they're going to get a letter. My mother is a letter, like, four-page scathing letters. She's an expert at that. And she has written to everyone. Airlines who have done her wrong, Orville Redenbacher for popcorn kernels that were unpopped in her microwave popcorn bag.
Really?
Anything.
Wow. Yeah. Did the Redenbacher people ever get back to you guys?
She got a year of free popcorn.
Okay, gotcha. The power of letters. The power of letter writing. I'm always fascinated when we have authors on the show to talk about their writing process, and I've heard that you write with the TV on, which seems incredibly distracting to me. How do you make it work?
It's kind of my white noise. I really like the TV. I like to watch really trashy TV. So no offense, but Paternity Court is one of my favorite things to watch.
Wow.
People are fighting, and it's just so juicy. And how are you not inspired by watching people, like, tell all of their business on TV and not even care about their children? And then the other thing I really like to watch is the old 90210, because it's kind of campy and soapy and all the things at once. And
it was, I'm glad I heard that after I read the book, because it would have been weird to read it going, oh, she was watching 90210. thank you so much for being here. Congrats on the book again. It's a real pleasure talking to you. The Feast of Thompson's Fires, everybody. Heads of the Colored People is available wherever books are sold.
Hi, everyone. It's Sarah from Late Night. I'm here with Nafisa Thompson-Spires after your interview with Seth. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
We spoke a little bit on the phone, and I wanted to, we talked about this a little bit, but one of the stories in your debut collection, two of the stories, I think, dealt with a character named Fatima. Was it two?
Three,
okay. So, and you talked about that you sort of have a plan for her going forward. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I do. My editor's sitting right next to me, but my plan is for her to be in a novel where she is in her late 30s now, and we're revisiting her now that she's dealing with her chronic illness, which is endometriosis, and she deals with it in a very strange way. She is becoming obsessed with corseting, wearing actual steel-boned corsets, and getting involved in this really weird Victorian cosplay group that is thinking about womanhood in a very strange way. So it's going to be dark, but funny, a little sad, all those things.
Do you have any plans for other characters that stood out to you?
I think there will be an appearance of Christinia, Fatima's enemy from the collection. Mm-hmm. Definitely her mother, Monica, will make an appearance again, possibly in letter form. There were some nasty emails sent in the story so far. Maybe a couple of other characters.
And you talked about that your mom is a big letter writer on the show. Do you think you'll use any other inspiration of letters that she's written in the past in some stories going forward?
Maybe not, just so that she won't get mad at me.
Okay.
I think I'm pushing it.
You're also an assistant professor of creative writing at University of Illinois. What's your favorite thing about teaching, or more your favorite thing about sort of being able to convey to students being a writer yourself?
I think it's really nice to see people who are fresh and energetic about the writing process, because it can be really upsetting over time. It's a hard, long haul. Mm-hmm. And so the students are bright-eyed and just really, really excited. But also, they keep me grounded in my own philosophies, because I talk a lot about being disciplined, but also playing, having fun while writing. And telling people that all the time means that I have to actually practice it. So it's good for my own practice.
And I wondered, this book came out earlier this spring, and you've been on tour, and there's been such a wonderful reception to it, and very well deserved. Is there a particular story or stories that people come up to and want to talk to you most about that they love the most, or that you hear the most?
It's always Belles Lettres.
Really?
They're always like, that story with the letters? I don't remember what it was called, but man, and it's weird because I've actually gone to Martha's Vineyard and read that story, and there were people coming up to me saying, my daughter was in Jack and Jill, and that actually happened to her, or my family's in Jack and Jill, and are you actually in the Claremont chapter? That was when it got really intense, was when people actually knew the references and were from the community and asking me about it.
I loved the Suicide Watch story. I felt that was probably like a stranger one, but I just didn't see the ending coming. And I thought it was so brilliant. I really loved it.
I don't want to give it away, but yes, it's got a surprise ending.
Yes, I think they're all so great. Anyway, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And hopefully you'll come back with the next Fatima novel.
Please.
Okay.
That'd be wonderful.
Okay.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.